It is Friday the 20th of June, and this is episode 212 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox. I am Chris. In the house is Ian.
I am Ian. Good evening.
I am Ian. Sounds like a film.
And obviously, there's no Batman.
No, I know. So we have just both done the BuzzFeed age. Can we guess your age through questions? And Ian, how old are you?
The age they guessed or my real age?
No, I want the one that they guessed.
47.
I got 62.
Is that a guess? Yeah. Is that a guess your height?
Sadly not. Yeah, I'm a little bit mortified, but yeah, you were taking the piss out of you being old.
But what age are you in your life?
I am merely 36.
Oh, that's an embarrassment.
Yes.
But you do it. Yes, you do look older. It is.
Thank you. Anyway, so yeah, I'm a bit mortified by that. I clearly need pipe and slippers more than anyone I know.
But I know what I can always predict your answers. To things like, do you watch in the cinema or stay at home? Stay at home.
You might was it. I like to sit in. I don't like to go out and party.
Although, which superhero did you pick?
I think I picked Spider-Man.
Oh, you're gay. I picked Iron Man, but there should have been a Batman.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The alert in your voice, the fact there was no Batman was quite telling.
Well, anyway.
You've passed the geek test. Right, let's go on with some news. And we're going to start this week with...
So the host of a tech podcast.
Says, yeah. The government have come out and pretty much admitted that they consider any data that lives or at least leaves the UK shores is fair game for them to intercept, record, do as they wish with. So basically, this is off the back of all the kind of discussions they've had. They have come out and said, we believe we have the right to do it, and therefore we do that. They've given out some, paragraph numbers, subsection 4 of some sort of data act that we can probably never, ever read anyway. To say, yeah, this is what gives us that right. And the thing they're basing off is the word external. And they believe external means anything which leaves the UK shores. And obviously external, it could be read that external should mean, between non-UK citizens, basically. Anyway, that's what they do.
And last year there was a whole lot of uproar, because it's the same in America, when they were saying, we can't legally intercept, UK citizens and US citizens, our own citizens, we're looking at terrorists only and all that kind of stuff. And it just shows it's all bollocks.
Well, yeah, which is all fine. We're up to the point where in America, you've got more chance of it being, staying within your shores. I mean, pretty much everything we do gets piped out outside, even if it's just, to Ireland or whatever. I think I put my finger on why it feels so dirty. And ugly is the fact that obviously to spy internally on someone, they have to have a named suspect and a reason for doing it, and they have to have a warrant. Outside of the UK, they're saying we do not need to do that. And so what they do is they collect data. Now, they're probably not actively looking at this. They may use some of their flagging tools to try and flag things, but they're not actively looking at this data store. They're just piling it up. And they're piling it up ready for the day that they need some information on someone. So as soon as they get a reason to look into you, they will then mine this data. And I think that's what feels so ugly, is the fact that this is the perfect tool for, bringing someone down. Anyone that they particularly take exception to, they being the paranoid android type thing here. But, that's what feels ugly, is that they're not actively looking at someone and looking for information about them. They're digging into their archives about what can we get on this guy.
Yes, and the problem I've got is that it's the fact that A, they're doing this, and B, They're now saying it's legal, which I think is really great, because up until now you had to get a warrant to go and, you know, allegedly tap, you know my phones or my communications. And they're basically saying, no, we don't need to do that anymore. And also see...
No, because it goes out to a satellite, which is outside the UK.
Yeah. And see who's controlling these guys. You know, so it's back to that whole...
Because the government don't.
No.
You know, the government only get advised on these things. They don't necessarily know everything that's going on either, because that's how these organisations operate.
And whether we like it or not, I mean, it's the same with Snowden. A lot of this stuff isn't government organisations. It's you know, private security firms. And a lot of it is subcontracted out. It's just this—it's just the fact, as you say, this is massive data store sitting there, you know, with your name against it, my name against it, and at some point in the future, you know, and it's almost,
and because it's so—is it because it's so hidden away? There's no judge that's defined what external stands for and means. It's defined by the people who have been given these. This is your set of regulations. Do what you want.
Yeah,
and they've defined it for themselves. So that's the, you know, the thing. It's not that a judge has come out and told them what external means. Yeah.
And as we said a couple of weeks ago, it's like, it's all the Snowden stuff basically coming true. And it's just really disappointing, because it was, you know, the tech companies and the governments were all like, this doesn't happen. And then a year later, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's legal.
Yeah. And this is why, yeah, subsection 4, paragraph 8.
And I'd love to even, because people are saying, well, you can change the government. And it's like, you can't, because none of the main parties that are going to get, none of them are going to change this. None of them are going to put that in there. Because see, if they did, and certainly it wouldn't, I'm not saying it would be a vote gainer for them, but I think a lot of, you know, people who are, you know, concerned about the privacy or in the tech community would say, actually, if you did revoke a lot of this stuff, yeah, you'd get my vote.
I think, you know, the best thing about the fact this is all coming out in the open is that it can be a, you know, driver for change. You get someone like the UKIP type situation where they steal votes away from the main party, and therefore they have to make it more of a central issue on their own policies to try and win back those voters. So maybe there'll be some balancing that goes on there eventually. It depends how far and wide this goes, really. Google, they're going to have to make a company disappear.
Make a company disappear, man.
Because
it's funny, you think Sopranos or something. I was thinking of, like, you know, like David Blaine, like, you know, like druggy, right. turning up and going, yeah, I'm going to make you disappear. I'm so excited.
So this is a Canadian court has ruled that the right to be forgotten is valid over there as well. This is the European sort of court said that there was a right to be forgotten. Now Canada's come in and said, yep. And they have ruled that a Canadian company's competitor, who the Canadian company says has stolen their and ripped off their kind of designs, the Canadian court agrees and has said, told to Google that they must take down any links or any references to this company off of their search index. But not only in Canada, they've said that they have the jurisdiction to get Google to remove it from all over the world. I don't know how quite they feel that they have that right, but they do feel that, and they've given Google till the June 27th.
Yeah, I mean, they basically give them a week.
Pretty close.
You know, so
to do that.
Yeah. And it's a slippery slope, because you're just going to see. I mean, can you just imagine Americans, how they're just going to go to town and all this, you know, the legal teams just saying, yep, take that story off, or get rid of this, or get rid of that.
Imagine the amount of litigation that they're going to have to face now.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, and again, remember, this is not removing the details from the internet. Nope. This is purely removing links on Google to that information. The information will still exist, but at the moment it's just about getting it off the Google index, which, wow.
And it's kind of unfortunate, because it's Google are in that position of, they do pretty much have a search monopoly. Yes, there's Bing and DuckDuckGo and a couple others, but people, you know, 99.
Poor Yahoo, don't even get a mention.
Who? But I mean, it's like the majority of people just Google now. They just go to Google and they don't think about it. And this is part of the problem, you know. So lawyers are quite happy just to go after Google now, rather than going after the original site owners. Because how do you stop a story? Because you look at your John Terry and all the nonsense he was going through. It's like, how do you take that down? Because it's on hundreds, if not thousands, of websites within, you know, an hour.
But yeah, the 80-20 rule of, you know, do it on Google and that's 80% of the details. Thing. I mean, it's worrying that it's spreading to other countries. So it's not just Europe now, it's going to other countries. And like I say, these countries feel that they have the right to say you must affect your, you know, .co.uk listings as well as your .coms and stuff like that. YouTube has put a stake in the ground. They are going to be releasing a new music service. I think we might have touched on it. So they, the same lines as, you know, a Spotify type idea or Google Play. They are offering a subscription service for music, but they've kicked up a stink by saying that any label that does not sign up to this new service for the YouTube music service will not be allowed to put their videos up on YouTube and have them played on the free tier.
This amazes me.
Yeah.
Just can't believe it. I never thought you would see, you know, Google being so, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, because Google obviously have their Google Access, Music Access or whatever it's called, already, and obviously YouTube is another arm of Google, but they almost act a bit independently of Google, don't they? That's the thing, they're almost a separate entity, yeah. I think. It doesn't feel comfortable. I mean, I guess it's just a bit of a power struggle at the moment as to who owns the power. You know, when an artist gets, you know, multiple million views, you know, every week of their music videos, is it YouTube that's facilitating that, or is it the artist's popularity? Who owns the power in that relationship? And I guess YouTube are trying to say, we own the power in this situation, because if it wasn't for YouTube, you wouldn't get that many views of your songs, and therefore you wouldn't be that popular, you wouldn't sell as much. So they're saying, yep, you've got to sign up. And I guess the thing is that the independent labels don't have the leverage, and therefore they get worse deals on these kind of, you know, they're going to have to sign lesser deals than, say, a UMG Music would.
And that's what they were pointing out, you know, so they've done big deals with the, you know, Universals and Sonys, etc. And seemingly that's inferior terms and conditions that they were offering the kind of smaller independent labels, who have refused to sign up, and they've said, well, if you don't sign up, we'll just block you. Which just, and we say independent as if it's just like the kind of small local bands trying to break through, but that's Adele, Arctic Monkeys, Jack White, for example.
Massive views.
Big names that aren't...
People that have used the internet to become big.
Yeah, no, know? Absolutely. And even before the internet, but, you know, I mean, it's like, it's still... I don't know, I'm just really surprised. I mean, does this...
It's a power struggle, right?
And does this mean that if I'm just a small, upcoming, you know, band, that I can't put my music up? If I'm signed to small independent label, you know, so as a local, you know, Glasgow label that's trying to push, you know, local talent, does that mean I'm now off of YouTube? That's not an option for me.
Yeah, and how does that work, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It depends what signing up means for these people, because normally signing up means, you know, it's one of those things, they stand to earn the money. It's not like they have to pay YouTube. They are standing to earn the money. And I think I guess it's YouTube saying, look, these services out there that, you know, they're half-hearted because, you know, even Spotify doesn't have all the labels on board.
No.
So it's kind of them saying, look, you hold us to ransom on all these different services out there and these different things, but actually we're going to hold you ransom back this one.
But the difference for me is that Spotify didn't start off saying, here's all this music, and then over time started saying, actually, we're going to change it and we're going to take these things off. You know, so certain bands and certain labels have made a stand. But it's not like they've you know, YouTube for years have just said, put your content up and we'll let you put it on there.
No, okay, yeah, so they're changing the game, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, and they are the, mm-hmm. they're obviously the biggest. I mean, I'm trying to think of what the next biggest video site is. Is it Vimeo? Is that the next biggest one?
Well, Vimeo's
one?
YouTube anyway, so... Vimeo's not, is it? So I'm thinking of Vivo, sorry. I would say that's the only other one that sits in my mind, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of struggling with, and I guess probably Yahoo's got some sort of video site. I don't know.
Scraping the barrel. Yeah, so no, yeah, YouTube, Vimeo are the two that would come up on my list more than anything. In fact, probably Facebook is just as big.
Yeah,
Facebook video,
probably bigger.
You know, probably, people uploading and
probably
stuff.
Probably there's a whole lot of stats out there that shows you Facebook is massive.
I imagine YouTube would be biggest and then followed by Facebook. A bit like Facebook's, you know, heavy for photos and stuff like that. You know, it's, yeah. Okay, talking of Facebook, they've released Slingshot, which is a chat app. So they're big into their chats at the moment. They're again scattering far and wide. Now, this unique selling point of this one is that you can send a message to anyone, I guess your friends or whatever, have an attachment on it. I think it's designed to have attachments on it. But the person who receives it cannot see your attachment until they reply with their own attachment.
Wow.
Yeah. This sounds like they're refining down and down into, let's try and find a unique selling point. This one, they were, again, really scraping the barrel.
Yeah, and I now know why they're doing it as separate apps. There's all these different, you know, so like Foursquare are kind of separate apps now. And Path, I think today, just said we're splitting our messaging part into a separate app. They're all going down these kind of separate apps routes, which I'm not quite sure why, but they are. And I don't get it, because they said they were going to bring out a Snapchat, you know, competitor.
Effectively... This is to get teenagers sharing images, isn't it? Basically, that's what they're trying to get done. And they're saying this is one of those, you know, it doesn't store your pictures anywhere. But you can store what you send, but, you know, it doesn't store them at their server end or whatever.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah, exactly. We've heard that one before, and that's been not proved to be not true. Anyway, there we go. So that's Facebook Slingshot.
Are you interested? Have you downloaded it? Have you tried it?
No. Ridiculous, I'm 62. Adobe has Adobe's come out with upgrades to their Creative Cloud. So Adobe Creative Cloud is their new sort of subscription service to all of their products and services. And they've done a big sort of, I guess, clear out stroke upgrade. It includes all sorts of different things. So it includes upgraded or updated sort of desktop apps, it's upgraded mobile applications, updated server type support, as well as SDK SDK elements, and also more refined sort of subscription options. So if you don't want the whole sort of package deal, you've got now a photography deal. I think they've released some hardware as well, right? They've got some...
Yes. So the apps that you just covered there are all they've got 14 desktop apps are part of the Creative Cloud suite now.
Wow.
So all of them have got a refresh. And I think some of the Photoshop demos that I saw, it's just so intelligent. You know, you can just, you know, that whole dream. But see, when I started, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, trying to hack, you know, photographs and take cut bits out, and it was always a pain. It is just like lasso round, plop, and you would never know that fence was there. You know, it's getting quite scary. How intelligent it's getting, you know, and there's a person and all the little bits of hair, plop, out it goes, and you're like, okay. So they've done a lot in that. There was also 5 new mobile apps. So they went quite heavy last year into, you know, iPad and Android, you know, tablet to time apps. So there's 5 new ones.
And they were relatively well received as well, weren't they?
They were. And also they'd released recently Lightroom for iPad. So it's now an iPhone as well. Because it was well received. It was really quite a intelligent package. It wasn't like a really, you know, cut down lightweight. You could plug in, you know, JPEG.
You get into the detail.
And raw files, do your edits and then sync it back to your Lightroom catalog on your Mac or PC. So it was, for the proper photographers out there, very nice. The hardware is, remember they did it must have been about 6 months ago, 9 months ago, they did a show. And they showed you the hardware, which was like there was a pen and a ruler.
Yes, that's right.
This is them finally coming out.
This is actually what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, so it's called Adobe Ink and Adobe Slide. You can only buy them together, and it's $200. So it's not a throwaway purchase. But they really are chasing, I think, after the high end, you know, design market. The products looked really, you know, nicely done. They're all aluminum, and. and again, they tie in with some iPad apps, so you can use them. You can use the iPad apps, which are free without these hardware devices. But as soon as you bring the hardware devices in, you get a lot more intelligence, a lot more control. And as the initial feedback seems to be, they are, you know, lovely, lovely devices. And time will tell how much they take off. It is a niche market, but it's a niche. I mean, for them, they're making a lot more money. They've got a lot more subscriptions than people had estimated. So it looks like a subscription model is actually really working for them.
And it really didn't work to start with.
No, it was really controversial. And I think,
but I th- But I think they were the trailblazers, because so many other people have now gone down the subscription route that that actually now they're a bit ahead of the curve, because it's mature, and it kind of works. It's a pretty easy thing to do, as long as you're willing to sign up. And I guess the good thing is you can stop your subscription, and you know, that's, you know, it's still, I mean, it, basically it's a way for companies to enforce you having to upgrade every year, rather than with the Creative Suite. It got to the point where I've got all the tools I need. I don't really need to upgrade anymore. You're charging me a fortune to upgrade. I'm in the UK, therefore I get the European tax added, which isn't just all about tax. It's just about saying, well, just match the numbers. But like I said, they seem to be getting away with it as much as anything.
And even
quite compelling. And now they've offered these more, you know, photography based subscription options.
It's, yeah, because
a bit more focused down.
They did that. I think it was the tail end of last year. They did a kind of 1 month special, which was sign up for the photography one. We're only going to offer it for this month. You need to commit to a year, but you get Photoshop, Lightroom, and then I think there was something else on the iPad you got as well, and some storage.
That's right, you did, and it was a good deal.
£9 a month?
Yeah, something like that. So basically, for, you know, £120, you'd get those applications for the whole year, but you know, at the end of that year, you're stuffed. Well, unless you pay the full subscription cost, obviously. Let's move on to Amazon, because they have been touting their latest device, which is a phone. So the first Amazon phone, and they've kept along the Fire branding, so this is the Fire Phone. It's been announced for the US so far, 25th of July. And basically it's a relatively good spec'd Android device. It's obviously running their own version of Android rather than the core Android. So it's, I don't know what they call it. Have they got a name for their own Android? It's Fire OS. There you go.
Yeah,
Fire OS is the name of it.
Tied around Fire.
And basically it's a shrunk down version of their tablet, really. It offers the same Mayday facilities, so you can have online video help of the features of your phone. It's Amazon front and center, so it's about Amazon's media empire. Getting to, you know, your music, you've got your apps and things that, you know, so you've got access into the books and things like that, and I guess they're Audible. That's the one I'm thinking of. It's all hooked in, and so apparently the hardware is okay. Their gimmick on it is that they've put 4 front-facing cameras, and that will allow the camera to know how it's being orientated and react to that. So they're saying in applications you can sort of peek around corners if someone programmed specifically for this Fire.
Have you seen the demos of it?
Yes, a demo is very, very well.
Because initially they did the video about a week ago, and people were going like, oh wow, but they weren't actually telling you what they were looking at, and there was no live stream of the event, so it was hard to tell when people were just putting photos up. And then there was a lot of the commentary were saying it's not 3D, it's a very subtle effect. So I was thinking it's like, you know, just maybe a small tilt, but it's actually quite. There's actually quite a lot of depth to it as you move around.
Yeah, which is fine, but who's going to program something specifically for the Fire OS that does that in any meaningful way? You're not going to get a game developer thinking, right, I've got this 2D game, okay, that I'm going to add this sort of 3D effect to just for the Fire users.
I don't even think a map that really helps. You know, so it's, as you said, it's a unique selling point, and I'm not...
It looks amazing in demos, in real life. I mean, they're also saying they're going to use the same sort of ability for it to know that the angle that for sort of features of the phone, a bit like the Samsung. So you can scroll by leaning the phone. And again, I think people forget that in real life, that's not how people want to use their phone.
No, and Instapaper.
Maybe I'm being 62-year-old, but
no, I don't. Yeah, Instapaper did it 3 or 4 years ago because it sparked off a conversation with Marco Arment, who developed it. Who never patented it, but it was that whole, it was like a tilt to scroll, but it felt very artificial because there are certain bits you don't read at the same pace, or you get distracted and it.
I just, you know, even the, you know, just the, you know, the app or sorry, the sort of standard iPad orientation. So when it flips from vertical to horizontal, if you're like lying in bed just reading or watching a video, or whatever. it gets confused and it keeps flicking back from one to the other. And you have to kind of, I know you can obviously lock the thing, but if you have to turn off a whole ton of features as well, just so that you can, you know, not be sat bolt upright with your, you know, your device. Like, is it, if your device is lying on the arm of the chair, you know, if you just, it just, in real world, I just don't think it works.
Yeah, you know, see that BuzzFeed thing you did? You didn't actually have to start behaving like a 62-year-old. It is just a game. The tech crunch.
Shut up. Their big thing that is Firefly, though. They've got this thing called Firefly.
This sucks. Come on.
Which is basically use your camera to take a picture of anything. It will go and find out what that thing is, or you can actually listen to it. It can listen as well. Once it knows what that thing is, it offers you to buy it.
Yep. So if you're in the toilet, you're having a shit, and it tells you you need Andrex, and it will show you it can offer you the best price on Andrex. Nowhere else can better it.
You have to take a picture of the Andrex.
Yeah.
Surely they should just feed that out everywhere. I mean, that's just a service that shouldn't be stuck on their phone.
But it's not. It's already on iOS. If you fire up the Amazon app, it already does it. All they've done is they've actually put a button. So they've got
put a name to it.
They've got a button and they've called it Firefly, and you press the button. So whatever you're doing right
now. Some people are going to love this.
And I'm, you know, and I'm signed up for Amazon Prime. So I do try and buy a lot through Amazon, but I'm not, it doesn't, none of that hardware attracts me. You know, it's.
No, exactly. No, you're right.
They're making hardware to extend their shop front.
This comes down to, you know, when I was talking about the fact the high street will turn into this place where, you know, you no longer, it's just a generic shop that doesn't actually sell anything. It just has pods that you can go and buy it online. This is Amazon saying, right, the high street, we're turning the high street into that now, because you can go to Tesco, right? Or you can go to, you know, HMV, take a picture of the CD, and we will sell it to you right there and then. And I bet you their price is lower than the one on the shelf.
And for me, as you say, with Prime, it'll be there the next day.
And you can have it. And if you live in the middle of London, heck, have it today.
Yep. And there's a few places now that are starting to do Sunday deliveries. You know, so it's like, it's like, you know, I'm going into town shopping with Shaq tomorrow. I can see something in HMV and I know it'll be a CD, £16. I'm not going to buy that CD at £16 or £15.99.
No, the first thing you do is go and look at what the price you can get it online for.
Yeah, well.
And if you could take a picture of that and just, you know, whack it in a basket ready for when you get home to press pay, or even do it there. Yeah. You know, that turns a shop into the town is very different, as in you're still going to browse because there's still that aspect of it. And people find that fun. I'm, you know.
You're 62. The one bit that I was interested in was the camera. So saying it's 13 megapixels. They've said it's the equivalent quality to iPhone 5S and Samsung Galaxy S5, which are big claims, you know, because they do take really good pictures. But the thing that was nice was they said, by the way, every picture you take, on the cloud, unlimited storage. Yep. No, none of this 2 gig, 5 gig, 10 gig, you know, certain photos, 1,000 photos, 10,000 photos, whatever you take, on the cloud.
Yep.
And they can do
subject
that.
To fair usage policy, probably.
And they can do that because they've got that cloud.
Fair usage policy of 3 gig. You're right. Yeah. But yeah, there you go. So that's the Fire Phone. But
none of that hardware attracts me.
No, it doesn't attract you or I. But because I think, well, I'd be better off with just an open Android phone.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But yeah. But there will be other people that do
I was talking to one of the guys I work with. It's things like, you know, like the fact that their Amazon store is Android apps. But if you put your app on the store, you can't dictate the price. They can just turn around tomorrow and say your $5.99 app is actually free. And you have to deal with all the support issues. We're not going to reimburse you for people that download it when it's free. And we'll stick it back to your price when we're good and ready. And you don't have control over it. I think that sucks. That's not a way.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, yeah.
That's not
How do they get away with that?
Yeah.
Microsoft, we've been going around all the big tech firms today. They have released IE Developer Channel. Essentially, this allows you to download latest browsers, whatever, with the, you know, their latest feature set, a bit like Chromium, whatever.
Chrome Canary. So it's similar to Chrome Canary.
Yeah. So it's, so you can do that. They're running it through virtualization software, so it's not necessarily up to full speed, but it just means that you can get hold of the latest builds with the latest feature sets ahead of the curve, if that's what you like.
And again, threw that in because I do, to me, it is just that another little step, that change in Microsoft.
Yep.
Because they kind of really went big last year on developers, and they're continuing on.
Yep. Yo. I tell you what, we should build an app that just does that.
I think we should do one that just says arse. Or cock. Arse, no, yeah. Cock.
Much better.
Cock.
You just
cock.
Send cock to your friends. And basically, someone built an app that all it does is send yo. to friends. And somehow they managed to scoop $1 million of investment money to do this app. And apparently it's gone straight to the top of the charts of, you know, what's been downloading. Only problem is that it wasn't put together particularly well, and a bunch of students have come along and said, hey, we can hack your app. We can see people's phone numbers. We can spam them messages. We can, you know, not just yo, we can mutilate it into other messages. And they told the company this, and the company said, yeah, we're having some problems.
I thought the company just said, yo.
Yo. So yeah, they are in trouble. But there you go. Someone built an app to send yo.
If there's ever a sign that this is all going to implode again, this is it.
Especially when you get $1 million for just doing that.
Because if you look at all the big like Snapchats and all these big buys that have taken place, and you think, you know, that is a lot of money, but that is ridiculous.
It shows how much money they're sloshing around, that $1 million to these people is just nothing.
I mean,
nothing, and it's ridiculous.
Would you ever sign up for this?
No. Yo.
But maybe it's only for the, like, you know, folk under 40.
Definitely. You know that day when you do realise you're old because you don't understand the technology of the
one that got me this week? These rubber bands that all the kids are doing, all these weaving, all these bands. I'm like, what the hell? Is this a thing? And I asked a couple of the folk that have got, you know, kids are like, yes, it's a thing.
Mm. I've not even seen it.
Yeah.
Still don't go out.
Yeah.
That is the end of the news. Any picks today?
No.
Then it is the end of the podcast as well. If you want to find out more about us and what we do, you can do digitaloutbox.com, and we are on email as info@digitaloutbox.com, and you can talk to us Twitter or Skype, Digital Outbox. If you want to find out about me, you can do at academyracer.co.uk. And I'm also on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian.
I'm on IanD.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper. And Costa Rica's beaten Italy.
They have beaten them.
Well, it's 1-0. And there's only 2 minutes to go. Italy need to score twice to stop England going out. They're gone.
Laters, Gators.
You're gone.
Is this a spoiler alert? Should we put a spoiler warning at the head of our podcast?
Well,
you're waiting to hear the England result.
No, because England played last night and got cuffed. So
yeah, well, that's, even I know that.
That's not news.
I think I've watched at least 10 minutes of this World Cup so far.
It's been cracking. Come on.
And I've seen 10 minutes of it.
That's fine.
For me, I've overdosed.
Hey, you're on TV this weekend.
Potentially, yeah. And maybe even Channel 4, but we don't know whether they're on Channel 4 yet. Search Caterhams and all your latest TV guides.
Every time I hear you say Channel 4, I think of Big Brother and Please Do Not Swear. It's like Davina speaking.
It's on Channel 5 now. Big Brother this year is pretty awesome.
Oh, come on. Just.
I sit there thankful that I don't know any of these people in real life. There you go. Anyway, that's it. We finished a while back now. So goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Yo.
It's horrible.
No. Yo.